Houston, Huber, broadcasting live from Radio Row, brought to you by Cardiology Consultants. We got John Parker Wilson, former quarterback from the University of Alabama, joining us this morning. John Parker, I left you with some things to think on during the break. One of them being just the overall direction of the program. We talked about that with Sarah Patterson stepping down yesterday, Dana Duckworth taking that role. You know, we mentioned that Nick Saban is closer to the end of his career than he is the beginning, but also there's been some off-the-field issues that have been concerning. What's kind of been your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, it's so tough during the summer for the guys. You're just, you know, you don't have the normal routine like you do during the year. During the football season and really during the spring, you're getting this, you know, routine. You know what you're doing every Monday, every Tuesday. You don't even have to think about it. You're like a robot almost. You know what you're doing. And then you get to the summer and you get all this free time. You know, it's tough for these kids that are going away from home for the first time. That, you know, your mom is not telling you need to get to bed. You know, you're sitting in your dorm room by yourself with four of your buddies, and you know, it's tough to say boys will be boys, but you know, and that's why you try to educate the guys and try to bring them along. You know, you hate to see it happen. You know it's going to happen, but you try to eliminate it as much as you can. But I think the program. I like what we're doing with the people coming back. I mean, we got like guys like William Vallejos that's coming back, you know, got out of football for a year and just had to get back, and he wanted to come back to Bama and then learn the right way to do things. I think the gymnastics team doing that, the softball team, you know, you got those girls coming back, and they're going to keep the softball program going. We finally got a new baseball facility, so that's moving in the right direction. I think the foundation has been laid so good right now. I'm looking forward to the future.
And I agree with you on that. I think that there's definitely more of an upswing or an uptick to come. But you got to worry about infection in the locker room. And you know, we were part of a toxic locker room when we first came in to the university. And we've seen the difference in what a good and well managed locker room looks like versus. You know, a wild alley cat.
Oh yeah,
I mean, it makes a huge difference. Are there some concerns that maybe someone needs to be made an example of?
Yeah, and I think the whole locker room culture and that, all that is 100% senior leadership. I think when you got good guys in there that's not afraid to jack somebody up in the locker room, and you know, needs to do what needs to be done. I think that's when your program is where it needs to be. Maybe we don't have that, but I remember early on in our career, nobody was willing to step up and say, hey, you know what, you're doing wrong. You're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. And until you got guys to do that and not the coaches, coaches can't do it all the time. They're not there in the dorm room. You got to have some leadership to know what's doing, know what you're supposed to be doing, and not afraid to speak out, not afraid to hurt somebody's feelings because they aren't doing what they're supposed to be doing.
That's right. Sometimes you got to step on people's toes.
You got to.
I mean, I think we live in a society where people are afraid to be offended.
Right.
Afraid to kind of hear the truth.
Yeah.
And, you know, there was a big trend of this, you know, I'm a man, you know, I'm my own man, I'm a grown man. You
right.
know, let me make my own decisions. But the problem is these grown man decisions that you're making are this, you know, false sense of ownership that you're creating. You're making decisions that are affecting the entire team in the program.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
How grown of a man are you
at this
point?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? If you're a grown man, then handle your business.
Yeah.
And that's where I guess, and you and I are in the same position, and I say this over and over and over again, whether I'm traveling to speak to booster programs or alumni programs or I'm on the air, you know, your 2008 class is the class that really got us to where we're at now. I think the 2009 team is the one that gets maybe the accolade for because they won the championship, and that was the first one in 17 years. But the foundation was laid by 2008 by yourself and guys like Antoine Caldwell and Rashad Johnson and you know, those guys. But I worry about whether or not that baby means enough to people coming in.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? You know, it meant enough to us. It kind of means more when you build it with your own hands, when
right.
you got the sweat equity in it,
yeah.
Versus someone who comes in and just kind of inherits the business. I know I can speak for myself. I worry about the direction because I worry about it being taken for granted.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm following it each and every single day. You following it more from a fan perspective. Is that just me looking at it through a microscope, or do you think and take former player out of it, just from a fan, do you see that, that taking for granted type attitude?
Yeah, I think it's very easy to do. You know, we went through some tough times. I mean, we lost the Louisiana Monroe. We were 6-6. We were losing Bowl. We were losing the Independence Bowl.
Christmas is in Shreveport.
I mean,
at the Stray Cat.
Man, brutal. Shreveport. I mean, it was
Sam Town Casino.
And you almost work out of fear. You don't want to go back to it. You know, you've been to the bottom. You don't want to go back. It's miserable. It's bad. And these guys have no nothing but success. I mean, you lay the foundation, but you don't have no fear in the back of your mind. I mean, and when we were all from Alabama. We're from here. We kind of grew up Alabama fans. Now guys are coming in and having to learn this Alabama tradition. And unless they learn it quick, you know, it's they're in and out and gone.
And you mentioned that because I'm going to get to some recruits that we've hauled in over the last 72 hours that have been absolutely phenomenal. And this is for 2016 and landing several number one players for their position in the entire country. But you bring up a great point about the recruiting. And you know, Steve Spurrier, again, made comments yesterday about how Alabama getting the greatest players. You know, he's made comments about how, you know, why would he go to the NFL when he gets 10 first-round draft picks a year in recruiting. Do you think that the recruiting on a national level does affect the overall attitude of the team?
Yeah, I don't think it can't. I think when you, unless you have guys that quickly learn what Alabama is about and the tradition and what has got us to where we're at and why we're so good and why everything is what it is, you know, guys can come in from Louisiana that have been LSU fans their whole life and, you know, not adapt, not buy in. It scares me a little bit, not knowing the past. You got to know the past and, you know, predict the future. But I just, you know, when we were all there and all the class before us, it was all Alabama guys. And just we loved Alabama. And that was what we did. So now it's a little bit, you know, changing.
Do you think that recruiting nationally ends up playing in the favor of Auburn?
No. I mean, if you get the best guys, it's you're going to be favored every year. And I think it's great. I mean, we're drafting guys. We're picking the guys that we want. And we're going out and getting the best players, and I think that's sustainable. I mean, they might not grow up from Tuscaloosa, but if they can cover the deep post, hell, bring them in. Let's go. I don't care where you come from. If you can throw the deep in cut, I don't care where you're born or where you grew up. We just want the best players and continue the legacy.
And you talk about throwing the deep in cut, and if there's been a if there's been an Achilles heel to Nick Saban's tenure since he's been here, has been his overall. Don't get me wrong. I mean, we've had yourself. We've had two, you know, national championship winning quarterbacks. The overall evaluation of the quarterback position by Nick Saban. You played for him just like I did, but you were a little more intimate in your conversations with him because the quarterback merits that conversation with a head coach. What does he expect from that quarterback position?
A lot. I think he expects a lot.
Because I think a lot of people just bundle it up as you're going to be a game manager for Nick Saban and, you know, all you did was manage the game.
Yeah. Which people, game manager gets a bad rap, but you know what? You're winning games. That is your job as a quarterback, is to win games. You're judged on how many games you win. How many touchdowns you throw is irrelevant. If you're winning games and you're leading your team, and you're the general. Coach Saban really empowers his assistant coaches. Coach Smart, Kiffin, they are the generals, and they're teaching the troops what to do and how to do it. Quarterback's the same way. You got to be the general on the field. You got to put your guys out there, and I think that's what expected more than anything is keep your head on straight, keep a level head, and lead the troops.
Does he have a hard time evaluating that position? I mean, you know, a lot of people don't know that he played that position growing up.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where he went to college, was to play quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he was told he was too small and he didn't have a good enough arm, so he moved to defensive back.
Yeah.
But does he evaluate that position as well as he evaluates some of the others?
I mean, it's not easy just to go pick the best guy. I mean, you can throw a beautiful ball in high school and it's such a big difference from coming from high school it is to college.
In his defense, too, though, we've talked about up-tempo offenses this morning. That's definitely a huge trend in high school sports. You ran it here at Hoover.
Yeah.
And you had a great, was Chad Jackson?
Oh, yeah.
Great
CJ.
Wide receiver, CJ. And you guys kind of were one of the first in Alabama to really go to that wide open spread, which puts up a lot of numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's hard to evaluate if you're a college coach. You know, just how concrete are these numbers?
Right, right. And it's hard to look at somebody running that offense and then you want them to translate into a different offense.
Right.
But we ran the spread, but we weren't like the speed sweeps. And I promise you, I didn't do a lot of option reading. I would pull if they were.
You had sneaky feet, though. You had sneaky feet.
Sneaky feet.
I think of the scramble down in Baton Rouge.
Yeah.
That was called for holding, which never was, by the way. That one can only go down in the memory. As far as chronologically, you can't really put that one down in the stats.
That would have been great.
Scramble.
It would have been great. The best play that never was. Man, it was a thing of beauty.
The best play that never was.
But I ran out of fear. I was just trying to outrun the people so they get blasted.
Well, I can remember seeing you running, thinking he's still going. Well, why is he running?
I was thinking the same thing.
You're listening to John Parker Wilson joining us this morning, brought to you by Cardiology Consultants, live here at the Winfrey Hotel in Hoover, Alabama. We'll take a break, come back. Alabama gets the number one and number two cornerback and athlete in the country. Gets commitments yesterday for 2016 class. We'll discuss who that is and wrap things up in hour number one here of Houston and Hoover. You're listening to the home of Alabama sports, Tide 99.1 and Tide 99.1.com.